I was studying. Wow, Rev, Astis. God is trying to teach us something. We know that Jesus went to the cross. We know that there were two people that went to the cross with him. But how many know that later on there were two more people that were brought and put on the cross also? So how many know that Jesus in the center, and there were actually two on the left and two on the right? Oh, y'all looking at me funny this morning. Where'd he get that mess from? That's why Jesus looked and he said, Father, they just don't know. Because if they knew, they would let me go. In the book of Luke, let's you know what? I want to start in Luke. Go to Luke. The 23rd chapter. There are some things that I have been discovering as God has been revealing things to me and opening up different scriptures that they have just been blowing me away. But I think the main purpose for the understanding of the word and the scripture is to help me stand. Is to help me make it. Because what you use yesterday ain't going to work tomorrow. You just got to have a little bit more. You don't believe it? Try to work off that $5.85 you worked off of almost 14 years ago and try and make it. It's hard enough making it off of 9 or 10. Well, in the 23rd chapter, I won't be long. For if they do these things, 31, for if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Listen, and there were two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Malefactors is translated in the Greek evildoers. Now, we know that the Bible says that there were also two thieves with him. But right here we see it says two evildoers. And they went with him. What we need to understand is what is happening here. This is why Jesus made the statement, Father, forgive them, for they don't know. The word him, we always assume and we translate it as Christ. We know that it's Christ. But if you research the word, you'll find out that the word actually says or means self. Somebody getting this already. And when they come to the place, which they called Calvary, where they crucified him. Now, the word crucified doesn't mean that he was dead. Only thing the word crucified means is that they put him on the cross. That they nailed him to the cross. He was not dead. He was very much alive. He was smitten and beaten and ripped apart, but he was still alive. Amen. And we cry about some of the things that we go through. Well, you may not, but I do. I don't know, you're a lot stronger than I am. But they crucified him because they didn't know that what they were actually doing was he was allowing his self part to be put to death. And the malefactors, which means evildoers or wrongdoers, one on the right hand and on the other on the left. If you go to the book of Matthew in the 27th chapter and the 38th verse, we know that the different disciples had different readings and understanding of what they saw and what they perceived. Well, Matthew says in the 38th verse, then there were two thieves crucified with him. You notice the word said then. The word then is a very important word, because the word then is letting you know that there were already two there. The word then is saying, then there were added to them two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. What we need to understand is how significant numbers have in the Bible, what the numbers represent in the Bible. If we know that it's because of Jesus dying that we now live by grace, that we have life through grace, that we move through grace, in order for grace to take place and to become grace, there had to be the number five. So when you have the two malefactors, one on the left, one on the right, and then you have the two thieves which are added later, one on the left, one on the right, him in the middle, you now have the number five. So everything that was happening had purpose. They just did not know. I like this part because Jesus said, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Now remember, he's on the cross killing what? Self. He says, forgive them. The word them is translated self. They just didn't know. Father, overlook them. Lay it aside. They just don't know. Do you know how many people today just don't know? Their perception is locked. They can't see beyond self. Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they... They're not just killing me, but they're reviving me. What did he say? You must carry your cross daily. You must bear your own cross daily. They just don't know when they hate you, when they persecute you, when they afflict you, when they come against you, when they rail against you. They just don't. Again, what God is saying, what? You have to sacrifice self so that you can ask him to forgive their self. You know what's the hardest thing for a born-again believer to do? Yeah, I know most folks ain't going to admit it. It's to forgive. It's to forgive. See, we have a saying. This is what we say, Brother Al. This is our saying. I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. Well, if you're still holding on to it, you haven't forgiven. Amen. You know what? My God, this is Easter, isn't it? Or something to that effect. If you're holding on to something, you haven't forgiven them. Jesus was telling them, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. It didn't say they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they do, because the word do is an exploratory word, which means they don't understand that they're actually killing themselves. I got a word for you. Stop killing yourself. Stop killing yourself. Whoever it was, whatever they did, whatever they said, ask God to help you forgive them. Miss T and I were talking yesterday. You know, we condemn alcoholics. We condemn crackheads. We condemn heroin addicts. We condemn all these folks. The church world has decided, we've preached our own messages on what you have to do to get to see God. What Jesus was telling them when he said, Father, forgive them, for they just don't know, that the reason they don't understand or perceive is that they're not killing me, because of love. They're killing me out of selfishness. Yes, yes, yes. I tell you all the time, I know a lot of folks don't believe me. You better read your Bible. Hell is enlarging itself for religious folks. Folks that don't know how to love their brother as they love themselves. Folks that haven't figured it out that if I forgive you, I've got to let it go and forget it. Now I know it's some folks that have stepped on our hearts. They done ripped our hearts right out and then play with them right in front of us like it's a slinky. They done attacked us. They done attacked our character. They done tried to mislead everything that we represent. And it's hard to forget. Baby, you better forget. If you done forgave them, you better forget. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. Because it'll come back and it will eat you alive. Jesus was determined that what they were doing to him was not going to eat him alive. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, they just don't know. I hope it ain't somebody that's done messed over you. For they know not. The word know is perception. Their perception is killed and deadened by the influence of themselves. By their own flesh. Yeah. Now, they had a choice. Who do you want? You want us to kill Jesus or Barabbas? Who do you want us to let go? Let Barabbas go. How many folks have decided they'll let you die? Or they'll let you hurt when you've tried to do the right thing by them. They just don't know. They don't have a clue. They know not what they do. Go down to 39. I'm almost done. And then one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, now you see that? Malefactors which were hanged railed. Somebody say rail. Folks rail on you all the time. Criticize, judge you, talk about you, afflict you, and they in the same boat you in. They ain't no better off than you are. But they had found a way in their flesh to convince themselves that you're worse off.
Amen.
They lay right next to him. On the same crosses, with the same stakes through their feet, in their hands, and one of them got the nerve to say, you're supposed to be God. Save yourself. Anybody ever ask you, you born again, what you gonna do now? That's what they say when they come against you. They're trying you. It's a test. And unfortunately, most times we fail. Because there's someone in us that is determined that he's going to get his due. That he's going to get even. I'll be the first to tell you that I said I'll put this Holy Ghost on the shelf and whip the crap out of you. How you gonna shelf it? Who done convinced you that you can shelf it? Yeah. And all the time they going, I knew they wouldn't saved anyway. I've been telling folks all the time they wouldn't write. They go to church all the time. Always talking about Jesus. But the first time something go wrong, look how they acted. But they act worse than you do. At least you come around. Or do you? That's a question, not an accusation. He railed on him saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself. But in the process, don't forget us. I'm going to dog you, but I still want you to save me. You see why Jesus died? That you might have this abundant life in you? That when they accuse you, afflict you, come against you, talk about you, let's use this word, dog you. And still got the nerve to come around and say, hey, you know what? Can you help me? Mickey, I have had, remember I told you the story about when a lot of the years, this was years ago. They know better now. When a lot of the younger guys found out I was a preacher or I was born again, they would come in and they would be singing that song, I Want to Be Saved. Y'all know that song. I want to be saved or something like that. Man, it'd be ringing all up and down the corridor. I'd get mad. God said, what you getting mad for? What you getting mad for? It's just a song. Why are you allowing it to afflict you? So I decided I was going to hold my peace. And I started saying, I bet you do. If you knew what I know, you'd want to be. You ain't got to be so mean, Rev. Now I'm mean. Folks want to separate you from your God. And they don't care how they go about doing it. And then they stand back. And the moment they need help, guess who they run to? Them same young guys end up having to come to me, Fatima, having to do community service. My heart told me to tell them, catch a clue, Opie. But God said, you're going to do what's right in spite of. Yeah. Amen. That's what Jesus said. They don't know. They don't know. I'm not doing this because I don't have nothing else to do. If you be Christ. Now, you notice they've been saying Jesus. Now, we know what the word Christ in itself means, right? One who has died, rose again, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ means Savior, Deliverer. There's a difference in them. So here you got a malefactor on the cross, all of a sudden decided, if you be the Christ, save yourself. Save thyself. What he was saying is, let's see what you got in you. Folks try you all the time. Because they want to see what you got. Do you know what you got? Me and Rev always laugh because I used to get hot. You cut me off, it was on. It was on. I might chase you for a half mile. Get close to you. Jump in front of you. And then one day I was chasing this guy cut me off me. He cut me off right here at Davidson. I was getting ready at 75. I was going to get on to Davidson. He decided he came across three lanes, cut me off, almost clipped me. And then when I blew my horn, he gave me the bird. I was hot. Oh, you going to flip me? After you didn't almost kill me? It was on. I chased him. I know I ain't supposed to be telling you this, but you need to know. Everybody go through something. I chased this man down Davidson Freeway. I was after him. And he knew I was after him. And now he's thinking in his mind, I done messed with a crazy man. He was swerving in our traffic, and I was swerving right along with him. So he decided to jump on the lodge. He jumped on the lodge. I jumped on the lodge too. I'm on him. I'm flying. I'm getting ready to get him. Mind done snapped. Flesh done totally took over. All about pleasing self. By the time I got close to him, he flipped me again. I started to ram him, and I heard the Lord say, "Go ahead, man of God." How do you know that ain't another preacher who having a bad day just like you? I stopped chasing him and went on about my business. But guess what? Now I'm almost 5 miles from where I was supposed to be. Who did benefit? I know it's funny, but it's true. I don't know if none of y'all have done that. Save thyself and us. The same folks that afflict you and persecute you, if you hold fast to your profession of faith, God will put you in a position where you can also become a blessing to them. Because see, they don't know what they do. Because what they do is in them. 44, and it was about the sixth hour, another number, sixth hour. Most Bibles say it's talking about noon, but six is, remember, we're talking about flesh here, we're talking about self. Six is also the number of man. God created man on the sixth day. So man was about to die on the sixth day. At the sixth hour. And, ooh, glory. There was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. What does nine mean? Did y'all hear that? Judgment. We went from grace to flesh, to judgment. All while he was on the cross. How heavy is your cross today? And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, now, listen closely. Now, you know the centurion didn't see the Holy Ghost leave him. But guess what happened? The centurion's perception of what had taken place manifested itself in his spirit. And he realized that this man has actually forgiven the very folks that have reviled, criticized, beat him, stripped him, spit on him, tore him apart, accused him of being a winebibber, of being a devil. He actually forgave them, because the last thing that came out of his mouth, "Father, I commit myself into thy hands." He didn't say, "Father, kill him." The centurion recognized that there was something special about this man. Because, see, you have to remember, he's seen all the miracles. He's seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. He's seen the different eyes open and the deaf ears open. He's seen the deliverance of those that had spirits. He's seen all these miracles take place. But he knew in his heart that this man had the power and the authority and the dominion to save himself. But in spite of it, he said unto himself, "Father, I commit myself into thine hands, because I came that they might have life, and they can't have life unless I die." Yeah. Let me drop this bombshell on you. There are folks around you that'll never have life unless you die. Right. I'm not talking about literally. I'm talking about fleshly. They'll never have life until you decide that you're tired of who you are and you want the nature and the character of God. And it don't come without cost and without a price. The centurion saw it was done. He glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. You want folks to know who you are? Tie your tongue in a knot. Tie your tongue in a knot. And you don't have to tell them that you're born again. They'll realize it. Amen. Father, forgive them, for they don't know. There are folks that's done stuff to you that you have to forgive. Because, see, they don't know. See how Paul took all this and he said, that's why I'm paraphrasing. When I wake up every day, I have to die daily. The only way that I can live is that I first die. Because this life that I live is no longer my own, but I've been bought with a price. I'm a servant or a doulos or a bond slave unto Jesus, unto the Christ. Therefore, that resurrection life that was in him is now living and dwelling and manifesting in me. And now I understand that I've got to transform myself by the renewing and the changing of my mind. My character and my nature has got to be changed. I've got to change whether I want to change or not, because this life is not mine. It's to live for someone that they might find Jesus. Of course, there's folks don't like you, and there's folks that gonna dog you, and folks gonna afflict you. But it was the two men right next to him. But the one said, the one benefactor said, man, you don't know what you're talking about. You in the same boat he in. That's what he told him, paraphrasing. You in the same boat. We hanging on the same crosses. We both about to die too. You better catch a clue. When you go into paradise, can I go with you? Everybody ain't going. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your ideas. It's going to cost you your own principles. It's going to cost you your own character. It's going to cost you your own nature. It's going to cost you something to see him again. I don't know about you, but I seem to jump out of one fire right to another one. If I decide not to jump into it, I trip into it. But you know what I found to be true? That if your perception and your understanding of who you are and why you're there, you can get up and shake the dust off your feet and keep it moving and keep serving God the way God ordained and called you to serve him. There are folks that are in your life, that are around you, that don't want to see you make it. They don't want to see you prosper. They don't want to see you happy. They don't want to see you joyous. They don't want to see you blessed. But you got to realize that it don't matter. If you serve God diligently with all that you are, with all that you have, and you give him your heart, God will protect you. He will keep you, because we are kept by the power of God. Father, They don't understand that the reason I'm here is because of love. They don't understand. You're going to be tried like a fire, but thinking not strange that you're going through what you're going through. You just got to remember where your help is coming from. Help is translated also strength. Where your strength is coming from, it's coming from the Lord. And then you have to remind yourself that the Lord is in me. So I have to do what? Strengthen and fortify myself with that word that God gave me. You notice the two thieves didn't have nothing to say. Just the two malefactors. Because they were the closest to Jesus. I don't know if I should say this. Sometimes the closest people to you are the ones that's trying to cut your throat. But you know what the hard thing about that is, Brother Little John? God say forgive them, because they just don't know what they do. I'm going to say it like this. Flesh is off the chain. He done made up in his mind. See, you have to kind of look at the way God does things. He does things so divinely and so governmentally that we miss it a lot of times. The man was born in the garden, created in the garden. We know that Jesus died on Golgotha Hill. But if you research Golgotha Hill, you find out that it was a field and a garden. When he sweated the big drops of, with the tears that were as big drops of blood, where was he at? In the garden. When the disciples just left him there by himself, where was he at? In the garden. Guess where you are today? In the garden. And only you and the Christ in you, which is your hope of glory, can keep you in that garden. Some of you, your cross has gotten heavier and it's heavier and it's heavier. But you better believe, just like God sent somebody to carry Jesus' cross up the hill, he'll send somebody to carry yours. Now, don't get it twisted. They going to give it back. They're just going to help you for a season. Prepare your way. Make your way straight. We think Jesus died just so we can sing songs and dance and shout and worship and lift our hands and glorify God. But he died that you might have a different lifestyle in you. That your communication that flows out of you will be different. You know, you can communicate without opening your mouth. Folks can recognize the love of God without you always running around with a bumper sticker on your back. I got friends that every time you see them, glory to God. Okay. Praise the Lord, brother. How you doing? I said, I'm doing exactly fabulous. Well, I'm blessed. I go, are you happy? No, I'm blessed. I said, the word blessed means happy. So you're happy. I'm fabulous. Don't let nobody steal what God's gave you. He paid a price. Let's not just let it go to waste. Let's not go to waste. There are things that we're going through in our lives that absolutely nobody can help us. And it's going to take your faith and your commitment. Jesus was committed to die.
Yes, he was.
He was committed to it. It didn't matter how he felt. It didn't matter what he thought. It didn't matter what they did to him. It didn't matter how what they said about him. He was committed to die. God asks me all the time, how committed are you to die? In the last year, so I found myself in some of the worst places you could possibly be in. But you know what? God decided that I'm going to use you anyway. I'm going to use you anyway. What was the name of that message I preached Friday, the Friday service? Jesus too. Because they're not going to know who he is unless they see him in you. You can talk all you, folks talking all the time. I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They don't mean it. It's just something that sounds good. If you say it, mean it. And you don't mean it if you don't portray the same nature and the same character that he had.
That's right.
I want to be like that other malefactor. Father, Lord, when you get to where you're going, I want to be right there with you. And Jesus said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. But guess what? You've got to get out of that don't know state and get into the understanding.